Thanks for listening to the Gate City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. For more information on our church or our 24/7 house of prayer, please visit gatecityatl.com. Now enjoy the message.
Well, I am excited to get to share this final message of 2023. And I feel like God really has impressed a word for us as a spiritual family on my heart. And I just want you to be thinking about this word, even as we go towards our ministry time at the end of the service. And the word is that I sense this morning, even as I was praying, this is a little bit of a tangent from the main message, but my prophetic stirring this morning is that there are some in this room who are desiring to go into 2024 with a reset. And that may be a reset in your physical health. It may be a reset in your spiritual practices. It may be a reset in your vocational life in some area, but it's a place where you know that you've stumbled, had challenges, and you're looking to God to help you. And maybe it was a commitment you made last year and you're recognizing I didn't follow through on it this year, and you faced a little bit of discouragement or shame about that. I feel like this morning God wants to reset people because that thing that he told you to do last year that you didn't finish this year, that's still in his will for you to do. That's still part of his plan and his purpose for you. And my sense is today some of us feel like, oh, we've missed the boat. We've missed our opportunity. I didn't do it last year, and you're on the verge of giving up on that thing that God invited you to believe him for. And I sense the invitation today is to receive grace from God for a reset in that area of your life, to say yes to him again in humility and recognize it's his grace that was only ever going to help you do it in the first place. So you don't need to be ashamed or discouraged about your failure because he knows that you are but dust. And he loves you in your weakness, and he's ready for you to push that reset button, get up, and start again. Amen. So I just want to encourage you, as we're hearing this message this morning on reflection and remembrance, as those feelings come up perhaps in your heart on a place where you felt discouraged, ashamed, or like you failed, there is an invitation at the end of this message to hit that reset button. Amen. You know, I'm not a very good IT person, but I do know this. When something glitches and you can't get it fixed, the easiest thing to do is just reset the system, right? And you don't have to be a genius technologist. That's the first. Either hit it or reset it, right? And maybe some of us are getting a little bit of both of that today. Just kidding. Okay. Good. So I'm going to give an introduction this morning, and then I'm going to pray for us again for the Lord to speak to us. But I want to just give a little context to what I'm going to teach today. And if you, as Rolando said, we love QR codes here at Gate City. So if you want to scan that announcement QR code on the back of your seat, you can get the notes for today. And I also have a great resource for you. And that kind of opens up the transition into our message today. Because about 5 years ago, we did something as a part of our growth path series of classes here, which is our classes that we do that are about the practical skills of life. And we did a growth path called The Power of a Focused Life. And my friend Chris and I did it. Chris is a missionary with us. His wife Anna is here. Chris is snowboarding. I'm a little jealous of him, getting some pictures. But Chris and Anna, they're a couple, and they serve with us in missions in Nigeria. But Chris and I developed this class. Chris is one of the most focused people that you'll ever meet. He's very different than I am. Not that I'm not focused, but it gives me hope to see our different kinds of focus, and I'll kind of elaborate on that in this message. But Chris is, if you know Myers-Briggs, he's very TJ, and I'm very FP. And so that means I make motions more on my decisions. I like to be spontaneous. I don't like structure. Chris likes to think things through, have a structure. And it's amazing how different personalities can approach things like, so we were a great team in teaching this content, goal setting, scheduling, remembering, creating a prayer list. And that was what this Power Focused Life class was all about. We did it together and we kind of developed these 4 years. So Chris was a great partner for me. And we did this class based on something that we had done together for a few years, which are these quarterly on-sites. And he and I had this practice where we would get together for a single day or a half day. We usually would do something fun. That's the FP in me. Like we would have breakfast or coffee, and then we would go into the prayer room. We would pray, and we would make these four areas, and you see them highlighted in the set of notes. We would talk about our previous quarter, think about it with the Lord, get together and discuss it. We would do a little bit of goal setting. We would do scheduling, then we'd create a prayer list. And we would either revise the one that we'd done the previous quarter, and we did this for a couple years, and then my wife picked it up as a practice. She got a few of her friends together, and they did it regularly, and it was just a very good practice. It was one that kind of fell to the wayside over the last few years, but even doing it in a very intentional way put a plumb line in my life where I was regularly thinking about what did I do previously? What do I want to do here in the next coming quarter, in the next few weeks? What is my schedule going to be that reflects that? And then how am I going to talk to God about it? And I'll break these down a little further, but I want to just continue the story of how this practice transformed my life. And so we did this. So we did it for a season, and then we said, you know, we should really offer this to others. So we did this workshop on it. And so what you have in an extra resource Dropbox right there in the, it's actually a Google Drive, right there on the announcement page, is the teaching notes from the workshop, which are pretty comprehensive, so you can get everything that you might have gotten in the workshop. You can read some of those resources on your own. It's about a 20-page packet of teachings, and then about a 6-page guide that will take you through each of these four areas, and that is just a free gift to those of you that want something practical to do going into this next year, and you can do it your own way, feel liberty, feel freedom to find your own way to do it. There's not just one way in order to do a quarterly offsite or a retreat, but this was a way that proved very helpful to me, and I'll kind of break down why I chose to do it this way in a moment. So you have those resources, and I tell that story to say that this is not something that I just put together this past week as a good message to end the year. This is one of the most powerful, impactful spiritual practices in my life and the life of my family, and the practice of, in particular, remembrance, which is the catalyst out of which I fuel all my other planning for the future. This practice of remembrance has continued to plumbline me, not just remembering my own personal journey and failures and successes and ruminating on those things, but the reality of talking and interacting with God about them and getting heaven's perspective on them has actually been radically transformative in my life. And so if you've never done this before, perhaps it's been a previous practice, I felt challenged by the Lord myself that this season right now is a season to take back up the practice of quarterly setting time aside to reflect, to set goals, to define my schedule, and to create my prayer list and what my devotional rhythms are going to be. And so if that sounds too intense for you, you're like me. I'm an ENFP. I don't particularly love structure, schedule, planning. The biggest reason why I would ever make those things is so I can deviate from them, as you will see in the notes. See, we have the notes right here. They're all very thoughtfully planned out so that I can do only about a quarter of them. Now, so if you're like me, take heart, right? You can do this too, okay? And you can do it in your own unique way. If you're like my friend Chris, who's more like he's an ENTJ, you're that thinking, judging personality who loves structure, loves putting things in boxes, then you need to find an ENFP friend like me in order to break all your boxes and do this quarterly. No, I'm just kidding. But the person who loves those kinds of things, you're going to find, love structuring your life in that kind of way. You're going to find a lot of liberty in bringing God into that dialogue in a way, and even, as my wife says, planning her spontaneity. And so my point in saying all that is people will hear this, and they'll hear it through a lens of saying, wow, that's really structured, that's really intense, you know, and sometimes feel like, oh, that's for certain personality types, it's not for me. And all I'm trying to highlight is that it really is for everyone to take time to reflect, think through what you want to do, set goals, create a schedule, create a prayer list, even if you're just doing it for the purpose of variating from it in the future, okay? So have liberty if you're more like me, and also I'm sure you're already doing it to some degree, but continue to be faithful in it if you're of a different personality type. Amen. So I just want to hit those four areas again and mention why we picked those four and why I choose to reflect on those four. And then what I'm going to give you today is the gift of, in a Sunday message, the very first biblical portion of teaching and my personal story related to remembrance and reflection on that first portion. Does that make sense? So you're getting the first quarter of the workshop this morning, and then you can do the other three quarters on your own. So if you want to summarize it really simply, personal reflection and remembrance is answering the question, if you're taking notes, you can jot these down. It's answering the question, where have I been? Where have I been? And why it's super important to answer the question, where have I been, is I believe it's very difficult to determine where you're going if you don't have perspective on where you have been. And if there's no other big idea that you take away from today, if you want to just, I kind of put it at the top of my notes, usually my one big idea, the one big idea from today of why you should practice reflection and remembrance is that if you don't take time to think about where you've been, you may not end up in the place that you want to go. If you don't take time to think about where you have been, you may not end up in the place that you want to go. Do you know that you play the game on Sunday in the NFL, right? Professional athletes, they play the game on Sunday, but do you know what they do on Monday morning? Anybody that's practiced professional team sports or done it at a collegiate level or done it at a very high level, even at the high school level, you're in the film room on Monday morning reviewing the game from the previous day. Just so that we recognize, right, it's not just a soft thing, a reflection, remembrance, it can sound kind of mushy-gushy a little bit, but it is a practical thing that anybody that wants to improve at something learns to do, is that they reflect and remember. And do you know what one of the most challenging things is? Is not to reflect and remember on the wins, because that feels great. It's to pay special attention to the places of difficulty and loss, but oftentimes that's the greatest opportunity for improvement and growth. So being willing to have the courage to not just look at the wins from this past year, but what are also the challenging places of loss. That's going to be the place that your natural human emotion and inclination is going to want to steer you away from taking the hard look at your failures. But that's the greatest place where you get to experience God's grace, wisdom, and growth, is by taking time to reflect and remember your places of loss. So when we do this practice of remembrance, it also helps us transition to now the next question. Okay, remembering is where have I been? Goal setting is where I am going, right? And so we help chart a course through our goals of where we're going, and those should guide us to what is most important. How many of us, if we were just to take a survey of the room of people that would agree with this statement, it is, I want to live a life that prioritizes what's most important. That's a lot less hands than I expect. I'm watching you. I'm in the room. You're not online today. You're in the room. Would you agree you want to live? It's not a trick question. Do you want to live a life that prioritizes what's most important? Just a quick show of hands. Okay, all right. The rest of y'all are waking up now. Good. Appreciate that. Okay. So if you want to live a life that's what's most important, do you know one of the best? Now, does that happen by accident? No, it requires that we clarify for ourselves what's most important. And I know it sounds so basic, but anyone that teaches you anything about goal setting will say, and I believe I've heard numbers quote as much as like, you become 80% more likely to complete your goals simply by writing them down. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this, but how many of you in the room, just ask yourself this question, I've written down my goals for this past year, for this future year, you know? And we go, we know these principles are true. We want to live a life prioritizing what's most important spiritually, physically, for our health and our family and our vocation, but we oftentimes don't take the time to state those goals in a clear, measurable way. And I don't think that's just laziness. Do you know the number one thing in my own life, and I think it's probably true of many of you, the reason why I hesitate to create goals is when I create goals now I have something that I can measure my success and failure from, and not meeting those goals can feel really bad. So what I've done in the past is I've avoided that feeling of feeling really bad by just not setting goals, right? I hear people laughing because people are like, yes, I avoid goal setting. When you said goal setting, I immediately begin to get a little itchy at the thought of it. A little sweaty, a little beadlets of sweat, because you've had that experience, that discouraging experience of setting a goal and missing it, whether it was the goal to lose weight or pass a test or get a degree or accomplish something within your family, read the chronological Bible in 1 year, and you didn't make it out of Leviticus, did you? Right? And so you set that goal and you failed, and now, you know, Leviticus has you mired in guilt and shame about reading your Bible, okay? And so you set an overly ambitious goal, right? Don't cause those negative experiences of not hitting your goal. cause you to make out of a place of fear or anxiety that classic mistake of not clearly stating your goals in a way that they can be measured. Because by clearly stating them and writing them down, they become so much more likely that you will accomplish them. And honestly, if we aren't willing to set goals, then we're not going to live prioritizing what is most important in our lives. Now, I'm not challenging you to set goals on your own. I'm challenging you to take the conversation around what is most important and the goals that you want to set, whether they're qualitative goals, like I just want to be a better father, or quantitative, I want to discipline my kids 5 times a day. Just kidding. It's just an example between qualitative and quantitative. Okay. And so, yes, so I want to take those things into a conversation with the Lord and go, what is it going to take? I want to be a better father. God, what is it going to take for me to be a better father? How should I discipline my children? And what does your word have to say about that to me? Okay, so when we set our big picture goals, and in the workshop that we did, we would encourage people's spiritual goals, physical goals, vocational or professional goals. You can pick your own categories. Those are a few categories where I tried to have a goal. And so a few goals for me that I'm thinking about for this year. We got Bibles for all my kids because they're all at the place where all of them except for the little guy, little buddy, can't quite read yet, so we just let him pretend like he's reading. But all the rest of them are able to read the Bible, and so we'll do popcorn Bible time. We've done this maybe a half dozen times in the last month or so, and we're hoping to regularly begin to read the Bible as a family. I let each kid go on Amazon and pick the color Bible, and we all got the same version, and now those are sitting in our family room. And again, we haven't hit it consistently yet, but I'm going a goal for my family for the next quarter, perhaps for the next year, is for us to have time where we open the Bible together, read the Bible together as a family, right? And so I get to give a gift to my children of being in the Word together. And you know what? By just setting the goal and setting a goal where it's, we're going to do that once a week, which I think is very attainable, even if I hit that only 50% of the time, right? And we do 25 Bible times. Do you know how many more Bible times that will be this next year than we did this past year? Just by making a little bit of a plan and setting a goal, right? And so feel free, you can ask me in a few months, how's Bible time going? And I may shake my head and go, not very good, or I may go, it's going great. Another great example is I have decided that I want to get in shape, and the best way for me to get in shape is for me to have something that I'm working towards, a goal, and so I'm going to run a marathon this year, I've decided that I'm going to do that. I'm very excited. I got my first week of training under my belt. I won't tell you how soon I'm going to try and do it because it's ill-advised, but I'll let you know in a few months how the marathon is going. So that's a physical goal that I'm going to have. A personal devotional goal. I want to start and end my day in prayer instead of on social media or, watching something on Netflix. I want to actually just take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, begin my day in prayer, end my day in prayer, and just center myself in that way intentionally. And that's a goal that I've had for a number of years that I haven't hit consistently, but I'm re-signing up, I'm resetting on that goal. So those would be some examples of goals, okay? And you can see how as you move from, and I'm doing it a little bit intuitively because I've done this for a number of years, but you intuitively move from kind of setting the goal to immediately going, okay, what's my schedule going to be that's going to reflect that goal? And this is a little nugget for you, okay, that got burned into me from some preaching that I heard, but this message that time is life. And with what you do with your time is what you will live in terms of your life. It's your life experience, right? And the number one way to measure and evaluate your money is through how you manage your budget. Then the number one way that you manage your life and what you're doing with your life is through your schedule, okay? And like I said, I am not I've told you this a number of times, and anybody that knows this will attest to this. I am not a person that loves structure, right? But the goals that I want to set in my life and the things I want to accomplish, I recognize I won't ever actually attain those things and get there if I'm not willing to embrace a structure that reflects those goals in terms of my time, right? And so prayerfully selecting a baseline schedule, when is my day going to start? When's my day going to end? When's my devotional time going to be? When am I going to exercise? If I'm really serious about running a 26-mile marathon, which is the furthest I ever run, and I had a great experience this past year that really prepared me for this, which is I ran a 13-mile race with no preparation, and that definitely taught me what I did not want to do, right? And so now it was truly an inspiring moment of adversity to actually get in shape for the next one. I see Nathan because he ran it with me and he was witness to the, praise God. I just got to reflect on Landon Camp and Nathan Camp. We ran this race together. I was in terrible shape and Landon sadly got injured part of the way through. And so I very kindly had to walk with he and his dad. And I was when he got injured, I was like, oh, I'm so sad for you. Thank God, because I was hurting. And so, but we want to prepare, get in shape, and I want to actually run and finish the race that I plan to finish. And I feel like that's a picture. Somebody said, oh, yeah, all right, yeah. So, you know, you're going to finish the races that you prepare for, right? Yep. And that's all reflected in how you schedule. So I'm trying to decide what are the times that I'm going to actually exercise. Okay, so that scheduling time is life. Just remember that, and what you do with your time is what you will accomplish with your life. And then lastly, creating a prayer list. So again, it's if I were to kind of go down the list, personal reflection, remembrance is where I've been. Goal setting is where I'm going. Scheduling is what am I going to do daily to get there? How am I going to accomplish my goals through my daily practices? And then creating a prayer list is how will I regularly talk to God about what's most important to me, right? And so if I have goals that are important enough for me to reflect my schedule and I've actually set these things out and maybe I put them in front of me, put them on a sticky note on my mirror or write them up there in an expo marker or put them on your dashboard or put them in a place where you get to see those things that you're working towards, keep you motivated in your schedule. And then this question of now, not only do I want to accomplish these things in my own strength, I can't accomplish them in my own strength if they're a God-given vision or goal. I know that it's going to require a measure of the grace of God for me to get in shape, for me to have the devotional life that I want to be, for me to be the father that I want to be. How am I going to do those things? They are not going to happen if I'm not constantly involving God in the activities of my life through prayer, right? And so that could be a very simple 3 or 4 point note that you put in your phone and you go, I'm opening up my note and I am talking to God about the things that are most important in my life and in my family. God, I want to give me grace to consistently exercise. Or God, give me grace to begin and end my day in your presence and in prayer. Or God, give me grace to be a better father to my children and to discipline them daily, regularly. I don't know why that example keeps cropping up. Maybe it's just because we've been on vacation out of school, and so we've spent a lot of time together. I'm like, I got to tune this up a little bit. So you create the prayer list that allows you to talk to God about those things. And I try to weave Bible verses in because I want the Bible and my prayer life to go hand in hand. And so I'll weave Bible verses in that have to do with the things that I want to accomplish. Amen. Run the race with perseverance. Okay. It's a little double entendre there. All right, good. So I just want to pause. So that's some big picture thoughts. And so I hope you take those resources. And we may do another one of these growth paths in the coming weeks to offer even an opportunity for some people to do this in kind of a workshop setting. But again, that personal reflection quarterly on-site, that material is online for you, as well as the notes that expound on what I just taught. So now I'm going to break down the remembrance portion with our remaining 30 minutes or so. And what I want to do is I want to pray, and I want to ask the Holy Spirit that you would actually have an experience of him taking you back to those places of significant impact where he touched you, where he spoke to you in this past year or in the past few years. And that even as we're talking, God would begin to supernaturally direct your attention to the places of emphasis in your life that he wants you to remember. Because I believe that for every person in this room, there's something that God wants to speak to you about this morning. That he wants to recall to your mind in terms of his faithfulness, his love, and his kindness towards you. And we can do it as a practice, but it's also an exchange with God where oftentimes he will initiate the the act of remembrance with us, as we'll see in the Word. He would often challenge or encourage his leaders to say, hey, remember this thing that I just did in the future and tell the future generations. Or he would say, when they're facing a challenge in the future, remember the thing I did in the past. So God is a God who constantly calls us to remembrance, and we'll see that from the Word. And so I want to pray that God would bring things to mind that he wants to speak to you about today and in the coming days as we transition from one year to the next. So let me just pray for us for a moment, and then we'll jump into this teaching on remembrance. So Father, I thank you that your voice is living and active, both through the Word and by your Spirit. And I just pray that, I thank you that there have been even little nuggets for people this morning of emphasis, but I ask God that you would impress on people's hearts the very things that you want them to walk away from today, that the body of Gate City would be edified through the Word, that you would come and hold my hand, Lord, and you would give me the strength to speak clearly, to say the things that are on your heart for us to hear today, Lord, and I pray that you would just guide this time, Lord, as I teach, would you make these points relevant and clear and transformational in each person's life in this room? And I'm praying this, and we are praying this together, because we believe you are the only one that can bring change to our lives. That you, the Holy Spirit, are our source and power for transformation. And even as we talk about practices and how to live a life that is transformed and transforming, Lord, I pray that we would put no confidence in our flesh, that we would put confidence in the Spirit of God, and that we would partner with your grace even through these practices, and they would be grace-filled this morning and in the days and weeks to come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Good. So my wife and I, we had an epic date on Friday night, and we did a little bit of remembrance. We went to Chateau Alain. Yeah. Someone gave me as a birthday gift, they gave me a wine tasting experience at Chateau Alain. And so we went up there and we met a wonderful couple. I actually told them if they tuned in today, I would give them a shout out. So Tanya and Claude, if you're watching, this is your shout out, okay? And we sat next to this wonderful couple. They had like more table than they needed, so they split off their little table, and we sat next to them, and we had a really nice time getting to know them and enjoying our charcuterie board and having an appropriate amount of imbibing appropriately of the delicious beverages there at Chateau Alain. And so we had a very nice time. And then we went to the Perry Street Chop House in Lawrenceville. If you haven't ever been there, ooh, it's a good steak. It was delicious. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. He amened that. He said it's excellent. And they're not paying me for this promo. I'm just telling you, if you need to find a good steak, that is a good place to go. And so we split a meal there, and it was nice. There was like live jazz, and it was just a good atmosphere. And it was just so you don't get this picture that I'm like doing this in some hyper-spiritual way. That's why I'm painting this picture for you, okay? And then my wife and I just thought through this past year, one month at a time, and just talked about the most significant things from this past year. And can I tell you the truth? I had forgotten half of those things that were significant that had happened. And I honestly, you know, you tend to carry with you the impression of a time or season based on what is most recently occurring. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like I'll have an amazing week, and then Thursday will be a terrible day, and I'll be like, this week was terrible. And if you don't stop to actually think about the totality of it, you know, you can carry a perception that's not really accurate. Like, we had an amazing 2023. But we had a really challenging November and December in a variety of different ways. Would you say that's fair? I think that's fair. And so I was kind of coming out of 2023 like, thank God 2023 is over, when really I was just thinking more like, thank God November and December are over, you know? Because the totality of the year was, there was more good things that happened in 2023 than bad. I promise you that in the Stevens family. But if I hadn't practiced remembrance, I wouldn't have had that perspective. And the way we did it as a couple this year was we just talked through what happened in January last year, what happened in February. We just went month by month, and I just took little notes in there, and it was great. I said, I have a bunch of good sermon illustrations for Sunday now. I'm prepared for my message, thanks to Chateau Alain and Perry Street Chop House. And my wife. We already talked about this. I said, if I forget Tanya and Claude, you have to wave me down. Remember to say hi to them. So she does help keep me on point. And honestly, she's a spiritual director, and so the practice of remembrance has been really significant in her own life, and a lot of these notes that I'm sharing with today are ones that she's prepared as she's thought about how she directs people spiritually, kind of as a spiritual coach, into their own reflection and remembrance of things. And so I'm sharing with you something that is a practiced rhythm in our life over decades, and also something that we're doing even as recently as this past week in our own life, and that I'm finding the benefits from. And so these were actually her top four reasons why you want to reflect and remember, and they're on page 2 in the notes. So why do we reflect and remember? If you're not already convinced, these four things will help you. So we remember because when we remember, it moves us to respond to our world in hope rather than fear. And I'm going to talk about faith in a moment and a little bit of my opinion of what the distinction between hope and faith are. But the simple definition in my life of what hope is, when I know I'm in a hopeful place, is I'm walking around expecting good to happen. I know God is good. I know that He is good to me. I know that even though I am broken, He has a good plan for my life. I know that the broken places in me, He's redeeming. The places of dust, He's turning into beauty. The places of brokenness, He's mending and healing. The places of stupidity, He's making wise, right? Don't amen that one, did you? But the transformation that's happened in my life, I have hope that God is taking me from glory to glory because that's what the Word says and that's what I'm experiencing. Even when there are setbacks, even when there are places of discouragement, I know that God is working all things for good for those who are called according to His purpose, right? And we live out that experience and that gives us a sense of hopefulness. And when we look back and we see God came through and paid the bills all those times, it gives us hope that the bills are going to get paid in the seasons to come, right? And so remembrance fills our heart with hope and an expectation of what is good. It also strengthens our faith. And this verse in Lamentations 3, I'll just briefly hit it. Lamentations 3:21, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And the context of Lamentations is that all the prophecies that Jeremiah has spoken concerning the judgment of Israel has now come to pass, and he's walking among the ruins of Jerusalem that has been burned to the ground by the invading Babylonians. But what he says in the midst of all these ashes is he says, I call to mind and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Though it seems as though we are consumed and all is ashes, I remember the times that God delivered us in seasons past, and I know because of His unfailing love, we will not be consumed. For His compassions never fail, parentheses, though it seems as though they have in this circumstance. They do not. They are new every morning. And so we must practice building up our hope through recollection, remembrance, reflection. So then it not only strengthens us in hope, but a preacher that I like, he says that hope is the soil out of which faith grows, right? And we move to faith, which is I no longer expect good things to happen. Now I believe that they are going to happen and even believe them specifically based on God's promises, what He said to me in the past. Psalm 77, David says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? And you can just see he's bolstering his faith that God is going to act on his behalf without question based on the fact that God has acted mightily on his behalf and behalf of his people in the past. And he's moving from that place of the expectation of good to now I believe God will be good and be good in very specific ways. And so it creates, reflection, remembrance creates this atmosphere of hope and gives us courage to apprehend faith. Remembering also inspires us to pray and to act. Paul says to Timothy, I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that you might by them wage the good warfare. There might be some place of adversity in your life that you need to fight a fight in this next season for victory. Maybe it's over the destiny of one of your children. Maybe it's over the destiny of your parents. Perhaps it's over a promise that God has given you, considering your calling, or perhaps it's a place that you feel that God has anointed you, but you've yet to see some manifestation of God's will in that area in your life. And there's an invitation to remember what God has said, and now based on what he has said, step out of the boat and onto the water and see what God does as you respond to his invitation to get out of the place of safety and security and into the place of risk, right? And so we create hope. Hope creates faith. Faith creates courage, and that courage calls us to action, where we fight the good fight and we do things because of who we know God to be and how we expect him to show up. So we expect, we believe, and then we act and we do. And then lastly, through remembrance, we also, as we talked about with goal setting, we reframe and we target those things that we are pressing on to achieve, right? And so we act, but we don't act just without direction. We act in a very specific, focused direction based on where we believe God has called us to go. And what God has said is the constant rudder in all of this, both in his word and to us personally. Because you better believe that a fulfilling life is a life of obedience. And how you spend your time, how you spend your money, what the goals are that you set, how you talk to God. And I'm telling you, if you are meant to be a marketplace person building a business here in the United States, and you're trying to get to the mission field because you have some view that that's a higher version of Christianity than the nobility of creating a business, you know, you have some skewed thing that's driving you towards something, and that's not God's best for you, I promise you, reorienting towards what God's best for you is the most spiritual thing that you can do. Or perhaps you're a person that were gifted, and before you became a Christian, to build a business, you've built a successful business or a career or some kind of vocation, or you're a stay-at-home mom, whatever the thing is, and that's become your space of comfort, and God is calling you out of that space of comfort into some different kind of space of risk. And in order to do that, in order to step out of that place of safety, you're gonna have to remember what God's done before. And you're gonna have to call those things to mind. But the point I'm wanting to make is the best place for you to be, whether it's building a business in the United States or a stay-at-home mom or to be serving in a mission field overseas, the best place for you to be is the place that is God's will for you to be. And Colossians 1:9, Paul says, I pray for you, Colossae, that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you'd have a walk worthy of him, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work. I'm like, we can have wisdom to know the will of God for our lives, both from the word and from God's hand directing our steps. And so reflection and remembrance and talking to God through all of this process is how we set a course to arrive right smack dab in the middle of God's will for us. And you know what? You can be a Christian and live off course. You can have your sins forgiven, be washed in the blood of Jesus, be on your way to heaven, but not be living in the fullness of God's purpose for your life because of fear, because of disobedience, because of an unwillingness to obey what he's asked you to do in some area of your life. And God's grace covers those things. And God is constantly working with us in our weakness to get us into his greatest good for our lives. But we have to submit and respond to his leadership. And that reflection and remembrance is the means by which we can enter into courage to say yes to the thing he's calling us to. And we build a life in God in that manner. I've had a simple example in our lives is I've had to take risks in obeying God on where we would live in lots of different situations. And the cost of where we've lived since I was 20 years old has kind of ratcheted up with the number of kids. And, you know, at first I was a single guy living in a basement, right? And it was like $50 a month and ramen noodles, you know, as a missionary, right? But it was like I had to have faith for that $50. I had to trust God for it. And then it's like the next phase, you know, you get a rental house and then you buy your first house and then you buy a house that fits the family that you have. And you see that in each situation, I wasn't the one that made what was happening possible. It was the hand of God working on my behalf. And I had to say yes. And it gives me courage, you know, for the Bahama Island that has come. No, I'm just, I'm giving... But each situation gives me courage and faith to say what you did before, what I had to believe for a smaller measure of breakthrough, now you're going to give me faith and provision, and we're going to partner together, we're going to have a solution, because you're not ever going to leave me or forsake me. And I always, in these big life decisions, where my kids are going to go to school, what, you know, big financial and circumstantial decision, where we're going to live, I want to say that I'm doing what I'm doing in obedience and faith as best I know how. While at the same time not having perfectionism and expecting that I'm always going to get it right, because the reality is I'm like, hopefully more than not I'm getting it right, but I might actually be getting it right less than. The majority might be wrong and grace might just be covering me. That really might be how I'm living. But I'm striving to give him 100% obedience. I'm striving to try and do everything that he calls me to do and says. And one of the ways I can kind of measure and evaluate and grow in hearing and obeying and taking steps of faith is going back and remembering. Remembering what God said when he called us to move from, we lived for a season in the guest room. This was our first, like within our first year of marriage, we ended up living in the guest room of my cousin's house, okay, as a married couple. And I was like, but we knew we were there in obedience. And I remember as a missionary at that time, people being like, you're crazy. Like, what are you doing? This is no way to start life. But I just knew we were there in obedience. And then it was like we took our first step to move, you know, into a rental house. And it was like, I remember walking into that house for the first time. That was our first home that my wife and I were going to rent and live in. And just feeling the presence of God in that place. And my wife began to cry. And, you know, and we were like, yeah, this is our home, you know, for, and we lived here for 5 years, you know. And then I remember the next house, and we went and visited, and it was out of our price range. We needed God to do miracles for us to be able to buy our first home. We've been saving money, but we still needed God's miraculous provision. I remember walking into that house with my wife. She begins to cry, and she goes, I know that this is our home, even though God will have to do miracles. And I remember God making the way for that. And then I remember driving. We had the house that we live in now, we did not see a picture of. Someone accidentally posted it prematurely on the internet before it was actually supposed to go up for sale. And my wife came across the description without seeing a picture of it. And we were on our way out of town. We're supposed to go on a marriage retreat. We start to drive to it and we go, we know that we are driving to our house. And we were terrified because we thought it would be really like rough looking because we didn't see a picture of it. And we were like, what if this place is awful? Like we were already in that place of conviction and faith. We're driving there going, well, whatever we're about to see, this is it. Because that same thing that we'd experienced two other times in our life came on us. We know how God speaks to us. That's not how God speaks to everyone. But we experienced that. We remembered how God had worked in the past. And I remember driving down that driveway and praise God, the house was beautiful. God, thank you, Jesus. But whether it was not a good situation or whether it was a good situation, I was resolved to, as best I could tell, whatever that obedience is, because I knew how God spoke to me. And I knew whether it's in the guest room of my cousin's house, okay, or whether it's in the beautiful home we live in now, or whether it's in Kenya in the future, wherever God has us is the best place for us to be. Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content, whether in plenty or in lack, and it's making Christ our one thing and obedience to him our one thing. Amen. And so the way we orient ourselves towards that is through this practice of remembrance and reflection. Praise God. I just have an impression even that illustration, I hadn't planned the illustration of talking through our living circumstances. That's just been kind of coming to me as I'm up here. But I just have this impression that may even be a word for someone here, that you're having to go through a transitional season. And some of you, it's in your life circumstances, you're transitioning in a way that is an upgrade, or perhaps in the natural, it's a downgrade. Do you know both require faith of different kinds? And I just want to pray for an impartation of faith. If you're getting the upgrade, praise God, hallelujah. If you're getting the downgrade, but it's in the will of God, praise God, hallelujah. Amen, let's pray. Lord, I just ask for faith for the upgrades. But at the same time, Lord, also we ask for faith for the downgrades. For whatever it is that is appointed within your will for us, we pray that we would hear, we would trust, and we would obey. And I pray even right now, Lord, that there would be wisdom for the way to be made that needs to be made. Lord, we ask, God, that where the prayer life, where prayer needs to precede some of these transitions, I pray that you teach us how to pray, show us how to pray. Where faith and action needs to be taken, Lord, I pray you give us courage and strength and clarity. Lord, for those that are saying, if you'll just tell me clearly what your will is, God, I just ask, Lord, you would give them the gift of that clarity and wisdom. So just release that, even for people online or watching this later, Lord. I pray for them. Release faith to embrace God's best for this season. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Good. So turn with me, if you are following along the notes, page 3. I'm going to kind of go quickly through this example, but it's this idea of Ebenezer's, which I've already taught a little bit on. But whenever there was a significant victory with the people of Israel, God commanded them to take stones, and they would stack up the stones in a physical place. And the purpose of those stones was for the children of Israel to, in the future days, walk past those stones and say, this was where the Lord helped us. And there was a particular battle that Samuel fought. And from the place that this battle began to the place where they ended the battle was a particular length of a stretch of road, right? And so right in the middle of this particular place, God commands him. He sets up the stones, and he uses this word, Ebenezer, and the word means stone of help. And it particularly means, they said, we set up this stone of help because it's up to this point God has helped us. You could paraphrase it saying, God has brought us this far. And so you would set up Ebenezer's in order to remind your children and remind yourself, God has brought us this far. He's helped us this far. And the stories that I've been sharing, that's part of the power of remembrance, is that when we practice remembrance, we can also set up these little memorial stones and say, God has helped us this far. We have a place in North Carolina that is really precious for my wife and I. It's the Billy Graham Training Center. It's a camp called The Cove. Now it's called Camp Cedar Cliff. And we met there. You're going to have to help me make sure I get it right. 18 years ago? 2005, we met there. We got married in 2007. We're 16 years married. So yes, 18 years ago, we met at this camp. And they had a camp reunion for the counselors. And they'd allowed people to bring their families home. And the camp that we worked at, I got filled with the Spirit in this one particular auditorium. It seats about 100 people out in the middle of the woods. I got filled with the Spirit, saw my first miraculous healing. There's a road that I walked down. It's the first time I ever prayed in tongues, just privately with God. I got my prayer language. Just many significant places. The cabin where I had this powerful encounter with God. First opportunities ever evangelizing kids. And I was only there for 6 weeks. How cool. It was just this packed season where God just did these amazing things in my life. And I met my wife there, which was incredible. And so we had this amphitheater where the same place where I got filled with the Spirit, it was the place we prayed and dedicated our lives to God. And in that particular moment where we dedicated our dating relationship and what we thought would be our future marriage at the time and proved to be true, we remember the Lord speaking to us and saying, it's not just about you, it's about the future children. The future children that I'm going to bring through your marriage. And I got to go back there with my 4 children and sit on that same bench. And it's the same amphitheater later, 2 years later, we would get married there. And then 2 years later after that, we'd have a significant encounter with God there. And we just told our children, we sat in that amphitheater and told them. Yeah, just this year, we took them for the first time, sat in that amphitheater and told them those stories and remembered the faithfulness. At that time, it was a hope of faithfulness that became an expectation and a faith to take action. And then we set a course for our life. And now I'm sitting here and we're erecting among our family a memorial stone of remembrance. And one of my children was so stirred by that experience that she took a moment apart. And I'm not going to share too much of that because it was a deeply private moment. But she got to have a memorial stone moment with the Lord herself in that same place. It's beautiful. God has helped us thus far. And we remembered the faithfulness of the Lord, and it gave me such courage to keep persevering through things that are hard, and it gave me such gratitude for all the good places they've been. And I go, those are the moments that mark a life in God. Those are the moments where, you know, there's a lot of times life is a grind, right? And the grind doesn't stop. It doesn't stop unless we are willing to pull aside and take those moments and let God speak and let God guide and let God meet us. And we erect those memorial stones to the faithfulness of God. And that was a powerful moment where we, in a place where Ebenezer's had already been erected, we added a new stone. Amen. We have about 5 minutes left. I'm just going to talk a little more. I feel like we've woven in some good practical things. But on the final page, I give a few things that you can do that are very practical. So practice of remembrance and special events. So I'm going to show you something. Don't let it intimidate you, okay? Kobe, you're my guy, and now's your moment. You're going the wrong direction, man. That was like perfect timing. You're going to the bathroom right when I needed you. Kobe, bring up the basket. Here it is. Thank you. Okay, you can now go to the bathroom. Yes, let's hear it for Kobe. So this is probably, you know, a third of my journals. Let's kind of unpack it here for a minute. So I do the same thing. I do Mead composition journals. That's what I like. And these go all the way back to 2005, you know, all of them. And I just grabbed one basket. I keep them in a storage space. Just kind of sit them all out here so you can see them. And I put sermon notes in them, and I, you know, I'll do about one journal every 3 or 4 months, about 4 a year. And if you see these blue tabs, this is where my wife and I did an actual remembrance retreat. We did 2 or 3 of these maybe 10 years ago, like kind of halfway through our journey. And I notated significant places and just read through my journals all again, re-listened to all my prophetic words and created a timeline of significant things God's done in my life. And now I'm like, okay, now like it's probably time to do it again here soon. And I think journaling for me has been just huge and important. Now, my wife doesn't necessarily journal in the same way. Some people journal digitally. Some people like to do a daily one sentence at the end of the day as a journal activity. You can do it in lots of different ways. I'm just kind of illustrating a practical way that I do it. I was halfway down my driveway, and I was like, I should grab something visual. So this is just kind of a visual representation of one way that I practice remembrance. And it's great to just at the end of the year, you just go through or the end of the quarter, and you read. And you go, oh my gosh, I forgot that dream. Oh my gosh, I forgot that sermon that impacted me. Oh my gosh, I really wanted to forget that and wish I hadn't journaled about it. And so journaling, practical prophetic reflection, there's a great practice that is a traditional, historic Christian practice by someone named Ignatius of Loyola called the Daily Examine. And it is something that you can find lots of information on online, but that's a simple way to take time at the end of the day and reflect on the places where you feel like God met you or the places where you may have lacked in your communion and connection with God throughout the day. And so the Daily Examine is a practical way to put it in regularly. You can do the special events or the quarterly on-site reflections. These are the kinds of practical things that you can do. For us, again, a timeline was a really practical way that we went back and reflected. And then adding to that timeline, we have a digital version, and we're going to update that probably here, I hope, this year, where we just put those things in a timeline based on the year and then based on the most significant thing that we can remember of each month. And so I just want to challenge you, and I can give you other kind of pro tips on ways to reflect and remember, but whatever stirs you to begin to practice, I want to challenge you as we close this message, do something. As you come away from this time, and we've taught this whole lesson, and you showed up here this morning, and you've heard all my funny stories and illustrations, all the examples, now go, okay, what do I want to do this week to reflect and remember on this past year, and to kind of go back and watch the game footage and look at both the highs and the lows, the roses and the thorns of 2023, so that, not just so that I can experience those things, though it's good to experience gratitude, though it's good to mourn and experience loss around those low places, but also so that you can begin to look to what do I want 2024 to be like and how do I want it to be different? And more importantly, what is God saying to me about where I'm going based on where I've been? Amen. Let's stand. So I teed up this message saying that some of us are being invited into a reset. And for some of us, it's an area where there's been a pattern of sin in our lives. We said we wanted to get victory over that pattern of sin. Maybe it's anger, maybe it's lust, maybe it was a lack of devotional dedication. Maybe it's a place where you've been grappling with unforgiveness. And you say, hey, in that place in my life, I want to commit to a reset. And it's scary to do that because you know, you're committing to something and you've been stumbling and you may continue to stumble at some level. But true repentance is making a decision to say, I'm drawing a line in the sand and I'm not going to let the enemy tempt me any further in this area, and I'm setting my heart to 100% obedience and righteousness in this area. Okay, some of you, it's that kind of space where you need a reset. You need a reset in an area where you're going to say, I'm going to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness in this part of my life. What I put before my eyes, what I put in my ears. For others, you know that God's been asking you to step out in faith in some area, and you've been lagging in obedience in that area, or unsure of how to move forward. Or maybe you knew what God wanted you to do, but you just haven't gotten around to it yet. Could be as simple as that. It's just the timing hasn't been right. But right now is the moment for you to get grace, to reset and recommit and do that thing that God has asked you to do. And it could be in your finances, it could be in your health. A practical one for me is I want to monthly do a better job keeping my budget. And that's something that I am resetting on at the beginning of this new year, that I'm going to keep a monthly budget for myself. I gave a number of examples, beginning and ending my day in the presence of God. These kinds of things. And as we humble ourselves, just coming forward and saying, hey, somebody pray for me. Coming forward is a response of humility. And the Bible says God gives grace to the humble. And so if you want grace for that reset, I just want to invite you, you can come forward right now. Now's your moment. Whatever that area is. And yes, people are going to pray for you, but you're also presenting yourself before the Lord, saying, Lord, I'm here to say yes to that reset in this area of my life. To have hope and faith again for change. That in this area, 2024 would be different than 2023.